This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation.
It's the Score North Twin Show.
Baseball. Hell of a start for Major League Baseball. So, the National League Cy Young Award winner, Blake Snell, remained a free agent until like 48 hours before the start of the baseball regular season. And then, the start of the Major League Baseball regular season begins halfway across the world. At like 2 o'clock in the morning, Central Time, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, Eastern Middle Time, night. Whatever.
Middle of night, basically.
Yep. So these teams. Oh, and then by the way, the face of baseball is transferring, wire transferring gambling funds to a federally investigated offshore site or something, and his translator just got fired. Like, just a round of applause for Rob Manfred and company out of the gate.
It's all coming together.
No one knows that the regular season started. Like
controversy, scandal, and yeah, well, and the best part about this whole thing is, so the Dodgers and Padres played two games in Seoul. They come back here and they're going to resume spring training games.
It's ridiculous, dude. Like they've done this before 10 years ago, right?
Yep.
Japan.
Pardon my French, but no league has pissed on their opening day as bad as baseball does. No. Like football found the Thursday night sweet spot, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Like the Thursday night opener. And hockey and basketball are fine. Like, but baseball
tonight
used to have,
in Seoul, South Korea.
Like, I'm
it's
not sure about
the LA Dodgers.
I'm not sure about Dex, but when like Phil, you were a kid, or certainly when I was, baseball, the opener would be in Cincinnati. It would start like at 12:30, and then games would follow all day long. And it was like this just festival of baseball is back.
You know what? Actually, I remember in college, because you always had these traditions you remember. And when the Foreman Grill was kind of new,
I feel like.
Or maybe it was new to us anyways, in like 2003. Mm-hmm. And it was still kind of too cold to go outside and grill. And we were at U of M campus, Pioneer Hall, the win. Yeah. Let's go. Used to be an insane asylum, is what they say. Isn't that where, like, the exorcism of Emily Rose was inspired? Pioneer Hall?
I lived there for a while. I didn't know that.
Maybe the RAs were just telling us those stories.
Sky Ma. Row the boat.
Sure.
Don't row that boat.
Yeah.
But we would bust out, like, me and my college buddies would bust out a row of Foreman grills and, like, fire up whatever games were on ESPN or Victory Sports that season, I think, for the Twins.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just, I don't know. I don't mean to be a Debbie Downer to start this episode, because we do have Declan's mock lineup 4.0 and a random twin of the week, but I want baseball to thrive. I want baseball to get out of its own way. I want games to be available to stream in local markets. I want the opening game of the season with a loaded Dodgers lineup and pitching staff to A, not be investigated by the feds, and B, available for everyone in America to watch at a reasonable time in the afternoon or the evening. Is that so much to ask, Rob Manfred?
And I still feel that, like, the real opening day that'll take place, you know, a week from the day, like, that is the exciting time. Like, there is nothing like your local team starting, if you're a baseball fan, starting its opening day. I still think that's the best feeling in terms of opening a sports season. That is bar none. But from a league perspective, from a national perspective, no one trips on their own shins more than Major League Baseball. It's not even close. Yeah.
Like, you're dude, right, imagine the first NFL game being at 2 o'clock in the morning in South Korea. Right. And it's not even Collinsworth, by the way. It's like Dan Orlovsky, and all due respect to Dan Orlovsky.
Why not? But also, why not send a spring training game there? Like, they're thrilled to see baseball. I'm not saying baseball should do whatever it can. And if it has to be a regular season game, the London idea is far superior, which is pick June or July and send them there then. Like, why do you open your season there then? You are right. Pioneer Hall, Emily Rose, I had no idea.
What does it say?
It appears it is haunted, which I didn't know. And that yes, it was a former, well, it's described here as a former mental health institute.
Dude, so they were not lying.
No, I had no idea. I lived there. I had no clue.
I thought I heard some strange noises. It could have been my weird neighbors.
No, it was the drunk college kids right by you. I believe Pioneer back in my day was the hockey dorm. You want to talk about hazing in the, this was 88. Whew, those freshmen, they were hazed, man.
Yeah, it's kind of it's creepy. Anyway, it's dingy. So anyways, now that we got that off our chest, yep. Twins baseball in a week, ready to rock and roll. Half the team's on the injured list. Duran's going to be out for like a month, but they still have Royce Lewis, Carlos Correa, and Declan has a 4.0 mock lineup for us. He's been ruminating. He's been shuffling the deck for the last month on this show, and this is the final one, right?
Final one. I've usually started giving you guys the lineup against right-handed pitching because this is such a lefty-heavy lineup, but because they're facing a lefty on opening day,
yeah,
we will flip that. So we'll start with the left-handed lineup. And yes, there has been changes. There has been changes. I've taken what Rocco has been doing because at this point in spring training, today's lineup isn't reflective of it. But we've seen glimpses of the last week or so of what the bones of that lineup looks like. And then I wasn't going to do this, but I'm going to do this. I'm adding another Declan flavor to this lineup. That's all I'll say. I was going to do this under Rocco. Yes, I've added a Declan splice.
A tenth man?
It's more of a jab of Rocco, do it. Just do this. That's all I'll say.
You couldn't help yourself is what you're telling.
That is true.
You decided I'm going to be professional and do it rock. No, screw it.
Bleep it. We'll do it live.
I like it. Okay.
All right. So let's start with the left-handed lineup here. This is what it'll look like on opening day. Hello. A little higher than I thought. Leading off and at first base, the switch hitting, the veteran, Carlos Santana.
Yeah.
Looks like it's going to be that way. Rocco basically confirmed that over the weekend, too, that we've already thought about having him as our opening, as leading off the lineup against left-handed pitching. So I think that's a foregone conclusion at this point. You'll have Carlos Santana batting first on opening day.
375 career on-base percentage against left-handed pitching. And even in his older age, it's 355 or 360 in the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. So he's not the same power hitter, not the same guy he was when he was 31 years old, but he can still work a count, get on base at a 350-plus clip against lefties.
Because he gets on base. That's why he leads off, even though he's 38 mm-hmm. and old. He gets on base.
That's okay.
Yeah, all right. Let's do it. Let's
batting second, Byron Buxton, and in center field. So I know there was some back tightness. We got a week. Winding things down a little bit. But Byron Buxton will still be in center field by this time next week. He'll bat second. They'll give him the benefit of the doubt. I do not believe, by the way, spoiler alert, he will be batting second all season. But opening day, he will be batting second and in center field.
So he has done enough in spring training to get out of the Declan doghouse of batting ninth. You wanted to see him 11th. Earn his way up the ladder. Yeah, you had him 12th.
I would personally still like to have him batting ninth or eighth, but I know
I'm glad
that
you don't, though, because that would be very embarrassing to Mr.
Trevor Plouffe vehemently disagreed with that.
He just said, I don't like the nine hole for him, Dex. He didn't slam me for it. He was a nice guy. He followed me on Instagram yesterday.
He was being nice.
We're now buddies. It's all right.
That was our first time. I'm going to tell you right now, in about 3 weeks, Plouffe's going to destroy you on that.
Probably.
Which is good. The gloves will be off.
Yeah, that's true.
Much prefer our show when the gloves are off. All right.
Batting third at short, Carlos Correa. It really looks like they're going to have Correa bat third and Lewis bat fourth at cleanup. I would personally flip this, but all the signs point that they want Lewis batting cleanup against left-handed pitching. Again, I would flip it. I think Rocco has it Correa into Lewis for the three-hole and the four-hole.
So, I mean, are they just saying, hey, this guy is an automatic grand slam every time the bases are loaded, so let's put him in the cleanup spot and take our
chances?
Why
would you flip it?
Because I think I would rather have Lewis batting third and Correa batting fourth because Correa just has a more solid career of destroying left-handed pitching, and I want Lewis on base before Correa.
Can I tell you what I would do? I would move Correa to the two spot, mm-hmm. Lewis to the three, or even flip them and go Royce Lewis two, Correa three, and I'd put Buxton in the cleanup. Because Buxton's not – all these other guys, Santana, Correa, Royce Lewis.
Yeah.
Much better on base and table setters and also mm-hmm. have power.
Mm-hmm.
Buxton's not as much of a, he's not even in his best years, not a big OBP guy.
No.
Not a big, he's not going to work counts. Yeah. He's there to pretty much hit taters, right?
I think if he's playing, if he's healthy and he's playing where he should be at, from a health standpoint, from a production standpoint, he's a very productive 5-6, yeah, maybe even cleanup hitter. But probably more, he should be in the middle of the order, but they will still start the season, I think, with him batting near the top.
I love your distaste for feeling forced to put Buxton second.
It is true.
Well, but the temptation, I think, from their standpoint is, all right, if we got him in center field, he's running around, right. He's still the fastest player on the team. If we can put him in front of Correa and Lewis, right. And all of a sudden right. now, like, a ball to the gap is...
The only issue is he might lap Carlos Santana with a whole 90-feet head start. But yes, I think that's also part of it.
Go,
both. Batting fifth. At second base, Kyle Farmer. Farmer destroys left-handed pitching. All right, I know I've had him leading off in all my other iterations of the lefty lineup, but he still destroys left-handed pitching. He'll be batting fifth and at second base.
You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
Yeah, you had him lead off at one point, and I mean, when you first did that, like three iterations ago, mm-hmm. I was like, really, Kyle Farmer? But yeah, Kyle Farmer, he mashes left-handed pitching. People are kind of annoyed that Farmer somehow through the offseason and spring training and didn't get traded. What's he making, like $6 million? He was kind of surprised.
Why am I still here?
But he's a good professional utility player. He can play a bunch of positions. He can hit a little bit. And in terms of clubhouse guy, I'm telling, because he was with the Reds for a few years before the Twins. Mm-hmm. He got a standing ovation from Reds fans because I was at that game at Great American Ballpark where he comes back for the first time. Reds fans and the organization literally gave him like a video tribute standing ovation. So there's a reason why he sticks around.
He was the team MVP in 2022 for the Reds. I'm pretty sure he was voted by the media or the fans, one of the two, as their team. That was a bad Reds team. That was a bad Reds team, but still. Batting six and at catcher, Ryan Jeffers. So without spoiling the rest, I can see a scenario where actually both Jeffers and Vasquez are in the lineup on opening day. Pablo Lopez did throw to Pablo Lopez threw to Vasquez a lot more than Jeffers. He caught a lot more of his games last year. I can see a scenario where that does happen on opening day, and Jeffers would be the DH, and Vasquez would be the catcher, probably batting ninth. I don't think they'll go that route, but I wouldn't be shocked if that is the actual lineup on opening day. They could do that.
Now, it's always risky putting two catchers in the lineup. Gardenhire was
third.
He would have a third catcher on the roster, so he could DH Joe Mauer on some of the days where he wasn't catching. Because obviously, if you have to take your catcher out for an injury, mm-hmm. now you lose the DH spot. But I've always said you can figure it out for like an hour and a half. You know, it's not like the rest of the series you lose your DH, right? You just lose him for like an hour whenever the injury happens.
Because punks like you come in the clubhouse post game and ask and drill them on, why'd you play both your catchers, Gardy? Why'd you play them both?
Yeah,
Guard doesn't like that.
You had to frame up the questions. Tom Kelly, I never covered him as a manager. He was around quite a bit during the Gardenhire era, but I heard the same thing about Tom Kelly, where you had to frame the question very carefully, because if you framed a question as if you know better than a longtime Major League Baseball man, they would rip your head off. So you always had to come in sort of seeking knowledge from like a dumbass standpoint.
So your move seemed really stupid.
Call me an idiot, but
so I'll ask the question this way: are you stupid or not?
Yeah. Good luck doing that with Guardian TK. Okay, Jeffers batting
sixth.
Sixth. Okay, that's good.
Batting seventh because they still love him. Max Kepler will be the really only lefty in this lineup to start. the only true lefty to start in this lineup. They still love Max against left-handed pitching.
So right field, right.
Yep, he'll be in right and batting batting seventh.
Yep.
Batting eighth, Manny Margot. That's in cool. Left field, the newest addition.
Oh.
In yep. Left field.
Yep, I love it.
So
let's go.
You're probably looking at this. You have all nine positions filled. Who's DHing and batting ninth?
Is this your poking of what Rocco should do?
Yes. Rounding out the Brooks order Lee. On opening day.
Brooks Lee.
And at designated hitter is Brooks Lee.
Oh, there we go!
Matt
there
Wallner.
It is. There it is.
Is not get making the roster.
Here. Yep. Yep. Get the whole. Get. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
He did it. Wow, dude.
Nice. Hold
Brooks on. Lee Dexter. Deserves the opening day spot here. Now, he's a switch hitter. He actually hits right-handers much better than left-handers in his brief minor league career. But he has done way more to show that he deserves a roster spot than Matt Wallner. And also, if you're worried about outfield depth. So, you have Buxton, you have Margot, you have Kepler, you have Willie Castro, and you have Kirilloff, who could play left in a pinch. You got five outfielders. You got five still there with Matt Wallner not making the opening day roster. It's not like you're all of a sudden, oh, what are we going to do in the outfield? You got five guys that are capable of playing outfield spots. So basically, Brooks Lee takes the spot from Matt Wallner. Even though that puts a surplus in the infield, your outfield's just fine. So there you go. I just made room for Brooks Lee, wow. No problem.
You're right. Do it, you're 100% right.
Do it.
It does get a little dicey, though, because we got to get to a random twin. Fly through your right-handed lineup, because sure. Where it gets dicey is there – You want Julian in there, and I'd like to test Julian against left-handed pitching sometimes because I prefer for him to be an everyday player.
Yep.
So let's see the versus righties here.
Okay, so versus righties, Julian leading off, but at DH.
Okay.
Buxton still batting second in center, Correa batting third at short, Lewis batting fourth at cleanup. So those 2-3-4s remain the same for both lineups for now.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Max Kepler batting fifth in right field. Carlos Santana batting sixth at first.
Mm.
Ryan Jeffers at catcher batting seventh. Alex Kirilloff in left field batting eighth. And Brooks Lee still batting ninth at second base, but as a switch hitter. And we can kind of slow play him in, even though he hits right-handed pitchers really well. In a perfect world, Brooks Lee is batting second behind Julian against right-handed pitching if he has indeed figured out major league pitching. But let's soft launch him.
Kirilloff DHing. Right. Who's what's Kirilloff's where? Left field?
Kirilloff's in left. Julian's DHing. Brooks Lee's at second base.
Interesting. It's Plouffe kind of said it. I think he said this a couple days ago. Like, you ideally don't want Kirilloff playing the field or outfield, right. But
yes.
Man, if there's concessions that need to be made to get certain bats in the lineup against certain handed pitchers, super interesting.
I do think Julian's going to get every chance to play second base, though, because he worked his ass off there.
Yeah, he will.
That's why I put the bomber hat on.
This is very bomber hat. This is very comfortable.
But this is where there's going to be people that crush decks and be like, wait a second, you just put together lefty-righty lineups and Julian isn't playing second base in either one of them? A couple things. Well, these lineups are going to, they're going to have 80 different lineups or 90 different lineups this year.
Yeah, yep.
But secondly, your main headline here is, you want Brooks Lee, the best prospect, Walker Jenkins, one of the top two prospects in the organization, who mashed in spring training and is banging on the door. You want him on the team. So whether they have to make this decision in 2 days or whether they have to make this decision on May 15th, they will probably have to make a decision, good problem to have decision on Brooks Lee, right?
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it is. And it still allows him, by the way, that's why I had him DHing against lefties, and that's why I had him at second and righties. And yeah, there's a bajillion different defensive alignment, not a bajillion, but obviously there's numerous defensive alignments you can make where it's not just like, oh, well, Julian will never play second. No, Julian will still play second. You could then DH Brooks Lee, or Brooks Lee just gets an off day. It's not as hard as, well, if that's your nine lineup, you can't have that same nine lineup for 162. Yeah, no bleep. S-lock. That's how this works.
Hey, Dex, did you consider Kirilloff at first base for the second one?
I did. You could do that. Then the only issue is if he is, if Kirilov's at first, who plays left field with Brooks Lee also in the lineup?
And Wallner at AAA.
And Wallner right. at AAA. So
Castro probably, right?
Yeah, Willie Castro.
But then I don't have Alex Kirilov in either starting lineup.
Well, you'd have Kirilov.
No, oh, in, was, instead of Santana.
You'd have Kirilov at first base. Santana would be on the bench. But then you're taking your best defensive first baseman off the field.
Correct. That's what I, right.
These are great problems. Great there's problems. Been a lot of years, great a lot problems. Of years where you didn't have these problems with Twins.
As long as they stay healthy, which I'm becoming very concerned about. But yeah. Anyway, that's.
By the way, if you want to see this lineup or some close iteration of it in person, you can get your tickets because the Twins are back. Well, they're going to be on the road to start the season, but in a couple weeks, the Twins will be back. And you can be part of the excitement of opening day at Target Field on April 4th, 3:10 p.m. against the Cleveland Guardians. It'll be a Carlos Santana revenge game. The first 10,000 fans through the gates get an opening weekend beanie presented by your local Northland Ford dealers. You can see Royce Lewis, Byron Buxton, Carlos Correa, maybe Brooks Lee. Probably not, but we'll see. Secure your spot at twins.com/tickets. That's twins.com/tickets, gentlemen. All right, it's time for the random twin of the week. Judd, you are the pitcher here. Dex and I believe, are tied.
Yes, you are.
Let's see here.
Oh, third place.
It's a close battle.
Yep.
So we've done 32 random twins of the week all time. Dex and I each have 11 wins. Judd has 10. So this is a very tightly contested battle. Mm-hmm. Judd will throw out a series of clues. We get up to 3 strikes each. If one of us hits that third strike, the other person wins automatically. So that's part of the strategy. I've won 3 in a row. Kevin Tappany, Roy Smalley, Brian Buescher. Before that, it was Judd with Joe Creedy, Darren Mastriani, and Mike Pelfrey. Declan looking to get back on the board after his 6-week winning streak came to an end.
It has been a while.
Here we go.
Yep.
No cheating, no Googling. You can hand right, write clues.
Here we go. Random twin of the week. This random twin went to the same high school as former big league pitcher Jeff Suppan. And former Twins Yankee Oriole catcher Rick Dempsey. So his high school.
Did he go to high school with Jeff Suppan?
No, did not.
Okay, I'm just going to delete that clue.
This former Twin, and he definitely did not go to high school with Rick Dempsey, since he probably could be Rick Dempsey's kid. This former Twin was a pitcher and shortstop in high school. And he
every good baseball player, I think.
Yep. And he led his school to its first section baseball championship. But here's the thing about this young man at the time. Not just a good athlete. Also carried a 3.85 GPA.
Wow, that's pretty
so
good.
So we're talking about a cerebral dude here.
Huh.
Because of the fact he was a good baseball player and also a whiz with the books, he turned down a scholarship offer from Stanford to sign with the Twins after being drafted. So Stanford said, hey, come play for us. You're smart. I'm sure you can major in something very important. You can also play ball for us. And he said, no, I'm good. The Minnesota Twins drafted me. I'm going to go sign there. Any guesses, or should I continue to roll down the tracks?
I think you keep rolling down the tracks.
I'll continue to roll down the tracks, choo-choo. His minor league stops included, through the Twins, obviously, organization, Elizabethton, Beloit, Fort Myers, the New Britain Rockettes, and finally, Rochester. Made all the stops. All the stops. But that gives you a little bit of a time frame, because Beloit was a very brief...
Yeah, I had a Beloit
affiliate.
I had a Beloit Snappers hat I used to wear all the time in high school and college.
That park was a pile of crap, and if I'm not mistaken,
great logo.
Beloit might be an independent league team now. All right.
Oh, man.
When this random twin got to Rochester as a Red Wing, he was a man without a set position. Played several positions in Rochester. Moved around the diamond.
I feel like I covered this player.
But despite this fact, despite his, you know, this guy without a position, like Phil said, all good high school players pitch and play shortstop. He was called up to the Twins and actually singled to drive in a run in his first big league at bat. So, as a Twin, comes to the plate, gets a knock, and drives in a run.
I have a couple of guys.
Okay.
Is it Joe Benson?
That's a no. One of the great prospects who flamed out as quickly as any prospect. Joe Benson. Dex, do you have a guess?
I have two, but I want a couple more clues.
Okay. So to go back to that first at bat, came against the Milwaukee Brewers. So that big league knocked in a run. I'm sure he got the ball. I didn't check on that, but I'm sure he got the ball. Came against the Brewers. At the end of the day, when this gentleman's career was said and done as a Twin, the only positions he hadn't played were pitcher, catcher, and center field.
Trevor Plouffe?
That is correct!
Oh, let's go! I knew it! Yes!
That is correct. It is. It is the newest addition to the Score North family.
Amazing. I was literally thinking Plouffe like four clues ago, thinking you would do this. But the positionless AAA thing.
Yeah, that.
He was a shortstop and a third baseman at AAA. Right?
I went and looked it up. They started to move him around, I guess.
I got tricked by the positionless because he was certainly not
positionless. I thought the same thing too, and I actually did this 2 weeks ago because because of your travel, skipped this last week.
Yeah,
and so I went and looked, and he moved around at Rochester too, which makes some sense.
I wrote down Plouffe when you said shortstop in high school and turned down an offer from Stanford. I wrote that down on me. I was like, is this Plouffe? California nice. Kid,
California guy,
and then debuted in all those. I was like, that would have been Plouffe.
Pepperdine.
And then
married at Pepperdine.
My other guess,
wife.
Maybe we can, someone could use on the next week. I wrote down both Plouffe and Valencia is who I circled here.
Yeah. Just right under our noses, man. And if you missed the first episode of Tuesdays with Trevor Plouffe, you can find that on the new Score North YouTube channel, Score North Twin Show YouTube channel, which we just launched a couple weeks ago. We're almost to 2,000 subscribers. We weren't sure, like.
I feel like it might be fun at some point to incorporate him with teammates he played with.
We should come up with some other, like another game we can play with him that's different than Random Twin of the Week, but we'll think on that.
Trevor Plouffe teammates, because he played for Tampa Bay, Oakland, and Philadelphia as well, right?
One of the TikTok trends I see, and it's not John Boy, someone does this, but they go up to guys in spring. Like I saw one with Gavin Lux on the Dodgers the other day. They said, who was in the starting lineup when you made your major league debut? And they have to list every single player in position of where they batted. We should ask Plouffe.
We could find some prominent moments in his career, like first lineup, first home run. Like who? Yes, we'll do some Trevor trivia or something. We'll come up with something. So, all right, that's a wrap. Declan back in the lead with his 12th career victory here on a random Twin of the Week.
My buddy.
Good work.
It's almost twin season, officially.
Good lineup, Stacklin. Hell of a show.